Lord, and I'm so grateful for you. I don't know what I would do without you. Thank you, Lord. You found me. I didn't find you. You found me when I was at my worst. You called me, Lord. You extended mercy to me when I did not deserve it. And Lord, you still, to this day, show me kindness, your patience, long-suffering. You bear me, Lord. You're always there, helping me, calling me, working behind the scenes. You really are faithful, Lord. You really are a good shepherd, Lord. You laid your life down for me, for us, Lord, but it's like you keep laying it down. Even though you're in heaven now and you're at the right hand of the Father, you're still here, Lord. You're still interceding day and night. You're still so involved in our lives. You're still passionately pursuing sinners and pursuing us, Lord. And I just thank you today. I love you, Lord. I do. I love you. I want to love you more. I want to love you with everything I have within me. Like that song said, I don't want to hold back anything from you. You deserve all of me. You deserve it. It's the least I can do, Lord. And my heart longs to just be with you without the barriers, Lord, without the dimness of sight, Lord. I long to be with you. I know that's when my life is really going to start, when I'm with you forever and I'm released from these earthly bonds, Lord. I look forward to that day, but Lord, for now, I know I must be here, Lord, and it's okay. Whatever you want, Jesus. Whatever you want. Lord, thank you for your word. Help me not to add to it, not to take away from it. Help me to be faithful to say what you want to say, Lord. People don't need my opinions or thoughts, Lord. We need to hear your voice. Please, God, speak to us. Open hearts to hear your voice. Let your word accomplish what you desire it to accomplish. In every heart here, everyone that will listen online, Lord, I pray your word will accomplish exactly what you want it to today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, God really is so, so good and faithful. And if you take the time to get with him and incline your ear to him, he will speak to you. If you are open and seeking him and asking him to help you, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. That is a promise from Scripture, and he is always with you. If you have put your faith in him, if you are looking to him, spending time with him, obeying him, he is with you. He is there with you, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't maybe see it, he's there with you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's faithful. And he always gives us what we need, and he's been doing that for Rose and I. He sees the future. He knows everything, the beginning and the end, and he's faithful to always give us what we need, even beforehand, and he's been doing that in such a wonderful way. And it started with, you know, a devotional we did together on fasting. And I thought, oh, sweets, yeah, no problem. You know, that's not my thing. That's Rose's thing. But when we did it, it was like the Lord just started showing me just food in general and how, you know, I still look to other things, especially when I'm stressed or just, you know, just want to give my flesh something. Food, he was showing me, was a substitute for him. And so he was dealing with me through that. So then, you know, we went through, it was awesome, and God was working. And then we said, well, let's do this other one. This looks good, feasting on God's word. You know, I'm like, yeah, awesome, you know. And I started doing it, and I'm like, this is like for Christianity. We don't need this. This is for Christians that don't read their Bible. I don't need this. And I got into about the 10th day, and the Holy Spirit was like, you need this. And I agreed. We think we're feasting, but we're not feasting the way God wants us to feast and knows how we need to feast. So he's been helping me with that. And then I listened to a message not too long ago, and it was all about the Word of God, basically, and feasting on the Word of God. And he shared something in me, in the message, that went in me. And basically what he shared was his daughter, who was away at some Christian youth thing, told him that they were doing a 30-day challenge to read their Bibles in 30 days. He's like, well, I'm going to join in and do that with her. He's like, I've never done that. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I read my Bible through every year. You know, I don't need that. And it's like the Holy Spirit was like, you need to do that. And I thought, man, that's going to like, I don't have time for that. That's like 40-something chapters a day. I don't have time for that. I got to have my quiet time. I got to study. We got counseling. I got this. I got that. You know, I don't have time for that. And then he says, well, I did it in 14 days. And I'm like, okay, this guy's probably busy too. He's a pastor. And I kind of felt challenged, and it kind of started like, okay, I'll show you. I can do this, you know? And I started it, and man, it was hard. And I was like, come on! It's like the same thing over and over again, especially when I got into Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And man, it was hard. But it's been awesome. It's doing something. And then this happened with us, and all I'll say is, like, I was ready. Like, because what I saw was, man, God is detailed. Man, he is, like, into everything. And, man, he really wants us to believe and trust him and know him. And it started, like, when you go through, you know, all the ordinances, all the stuff they had to do to even just commune with this God, the cross was just becoming overwhelming to me, and what Jesus actually did and what I actually have access to. It just made it, like, phenomenal. I'm still, like, and then Brian, when he was sharing last Friday night, just the whole idea, even singing tonight about this morning about the blood, it's just becoming more and more real to me. The access I have to God, but how little I take advantage of it. And it makes me think, what is wrong with me? Why would I want to waste any time? Why would I not want to use all the time I have to spend with him and to be in his word and to be meditating on his word day and night? Because what I'm finding is, you know what? This is what I need. I'm not anxious. I'm not in fear. There's a boldness growing in me. I really believe him. I don't feel as bogged down by the cares of this life. And even what we're going through, we're actually excited. She came to me this morning. She's like, I think we got another thing we can do for the Lord. So, anyone that wants to join in that, you're welcome to do that. It's been awesome. I'll give you the plan. But through all of it, this one verse came out various ways at different times, and so I want to share it with you today. And it's in Joshua 1:9. I shared it Friday night with you. And it's all on the same theme of God's word. and the importance of God's word and finding strength and courage in God. And so I want to look at those verses in context and a man named Joshua so we can learn to be a man like Joshua, so we can be a people with the same spirit that he had, that he needed, that God was looking for, so he could lead the people where God wanted them to go. He's commissioned us as well. And so this is important, especially with the hour we are living in. So let me read verse 9 to you first. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's interesting, he says, have I not commanded you? It's not a suggestion. I've commanded you not to be afraid, to have courage, to be strong. Not in yourself, it's because I'm with you and I will be with you. But now you have to read that in a context. That's not automatic. You have to read it in context. So we're going to go back to verse 1 and see the situation and why God was speaking this to the man of God. So in verse 1, we see this is after the death of Moses, because it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Now, I believe, and I want to be careful when I say that, the Lord's really been dealing with me. I believe, I think, my opinion, it really does not matter. But from what I see in Scripture, it seems to me as though Joshua had already learned how to incline his ear to hear God, because we see in Scripture he wasn't like everybody else. First of all, he was Moses' assistant. He was very close to Moses, someone who spoke to God face to face. But it says this in Exodus 33:7, and this is how Moses would talk to God. It says, he took his tent, he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp. I thought about Jesus. He would go out to a solitary place. There's something about getting away from the crowds, getting away from the camp and the noisiness and the busyness of the camp. Moses pitched his tent outside the camp, far from the camp. And he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. And so it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, all the people arose, each man stood at his tent door, and they watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud descended. Now, in this book we're going through, this devotional, the lady shares a story of her son who was reading through the Old Testament, and it was like the Holy Spirit revealed something to him that he was reading. He was all excited, and he came in and told his mom, and he said, Mom, God just showed me something, that it wasn't just a cloud. It wasn't just fire. It was God. God was in the cloud. God was in the fire. It was like God, the Lord was making it real to this boy that it wasn't just some cloud, some thing. It was God himself in there. It's important. It wasn't just smoke and fire on the mountain. It was God on the mountain. that the people heard when he spoke to Moses. And each one stood. And when he entered, that pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. He talked with Moses, and all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and they worshiped each man at his tent door. So they were at a distance. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, and here it is. But Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, hear that, kids? A young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. I want to be where the presence is. I want to be as close to God as I can. I don't care what's going on in the camp. I want to be where God is. And he spent time there. And God saw that. God saw his faithfulness. And I'm going to look at some qualities of Joshua. But that's why God could speak to him. He saw a quality in Joshua. He was drawing Joshua. He had called Joshua. So what were his qualities? We know he was a humble man that learned to serve. Because we're told he was Moses' assistant. And he was faithful to serve Moses. He served the people. But he served, we find out later, because he served the Most High God. And he understood that it wasn't really Moses he was serving. It wasn't really the people he was serving. It was God. And we see this later on in Joshua, verse 13, when he was by Jericho, he lifts his eyes, he looks, and he sees a man opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him. He said, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" And so he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he worshiped, and he said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" It was Jesus, many believe, the commander of the armies of the Lord. And when Joshua understood who it was, he fell on his face and he said, "Lord, I'm your servant. What is it you want me to do?" That should be our response. If we call him Lord, that should be our position before him all the time, on our faces. "Lord, I am your servant. What do you want me to do? I'm at your bidding." Or as Paul the Apostle would say, "I'm your bondservant. I'm your slave, Lord. What do you ask of me?" "Nothing you ask of me, I will not do. I will do it, Lord. At your word." That should be automatic if we're a child of God. He was willing to serve because he served God. And so the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take the sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And so Joshua did so. I'll tell you what, something else God has been making real to me is that he's holy. And we've really lost sight of that in the church. We've gotten way too flippant with the things of God. And we see when God establishes the tabernacle, where the priesthood and all that and all the stuff they had to do to enter and atone for the sins of the people, and that it was very detailed. And they had to do everything exactly the way the Lord prescribed. And so as they're beginning this whole process Aaron's two sons go in and they basically offered the wrong kind of fire. And it says fire came out from the holy place and it struck them dead. It burned them alive. And they picked up their bodies and they brought them outside the camp. And you say, man, I'm glad I wasn't in the Old Testament. But yet we see when God is birthing his church, he drops two people in a service that just lied to the Holy Spirit. He struck them dead. Struck the husband dead, then the wife came later, or was the other one other way around, I don't remember now. The wife came later. And basically God killed them because they lied. What is God trying to show us? To those who come near, I must be regarded as holy. It doesn't say I must be regarded as love. I must be regarded as holy. When you understand his holiness, you'll understand his love better. Because you'll understand he's unapproachable. But yet, because of love, he sent his son. That's what we were singing about. And he's made a way for you, a sinner, me, a sinner, to enter into his holy presence. That they had to pain-strickenly do every little detail, lest they would die. There is an aspect of God that should make us tremble. But yet he's our buddy, my pal. I'm thankful there is some kind of aspect that God so humbles himself in Christ that he is my friend. But he's holy. I don't ever want to forget that. It's so important, people. Because if you don't fear God, you'll sin against God. Because love will make you mushy if there's no fear mixed with it. So he was humble. He understood what Lord meant. Listen to what Hudson Taylor said. He was a missionary in the 19th century. He said, Christ is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. We can invite the Lord to inhabit our lives like a dwelling place and then ask him to stay out of the small room at the end of the hall. He must be the sovereign ruler over our whole metaphorical home. That's why we keep coming back to consider if there's any room we need to surrender to his lordship in order to make more room for him. You want the Holy Spirit to fill you? To possess you, to take control of you, to overflow out of your life, you got to give him every room. If there's something blocking you for that, it could be you're holding back. You're not giving him every room in your heart. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. It's impossible. You either hate one or you love the other. Joshua understood that. We also know Joshua was a man of God's word. I'm going to read Psalm 19. I know the kids, the young people, watched that movie last night. What's that called again? Play the Flute. And I know they read this psalm in there, so I'm going to read it. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired they are than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Take your time, meditate, think about that. God's word is much more to be desired than gold. Anything this world would value, we should desire the word of God more than anything, even gold that perishes. Sweeter also than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless. And I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If we look at Joshua's life, we see his devotion to the word of God. It says in Joshua 11:15, as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone. All that the Lord had commanded Moses. In other words, he did everything, every word God spoke to Moses and wrote down, he meditated on. He did every single thing God said to do. He was a man of God's word. Even at the end of his life, he encouraged the nation to heed God's word. Now, you parents, we prayed for you. And it is your responsibility to train up your kids day and night, day and night. If you do that and you're faithful to do that, then it's up to your kids what they do. There's no guarantee. And we see from the example of the children of Israel that after those over them that taught them the word of God were gone, they would backslide and go back to idolatrous worship. They would forget. Kids, you don't have to do that because you have a lot more than what those people had. See, the Spirit of God wasn't with them. He was only upon certain men and sometimes women that God would raise up to lead the people, but it's different now. We have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit. There's no reason for you to depart. It should be very hard for you to depart from the truth when you know it. But you can, and we'll see how that happens. Okay, we also know he was a man of prayer. Again, we learn that by his life. And the way he wanted to be near to God. He wanted to be near God's presence. He was a man of faith and trust in God. We see that when they spied out the land, right? And all the other spies gave a bad report except him and Caleb. And they told the people, don't listen to them. They didn't bow to peer pressure. Just because everyone else was saying a certain thing, they stood up and they were bold to say, no, God told us. God told us he'd give us victory. Don't worry about the giants. It doesn't matter what these guys are saying. God said he would go before us. We need voices like that today that don't go along with the crowd, that know what God has spoken in his word, that will proclaim it with boldness, even if they want to stone you, which they did want to do to them. It says they wanted to stone him. You will be persecuted for standing with God and standing on his word. Don't go with the crowd. Be a man of faith, a woman of faith, and trust in the Lord. Be a man who puts God first, no matter what. Again, he didn't care what others thought, right? What did he say in Joshua 24 at the end of his life? He said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. The gods your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, in other words, you do what you want to do. The Lord has set before you blessing, cursing. Choose life. But whatever you do, as for me, my house, we're serving God. We're going with God. He put God first. God uses men and women with these qualities. So now he speaks to Joshua. I'm going to go back to Joshua Joshua 1, verse 2, he is commissioning Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I could say that to you as he was with the disciple, as he's been with saints over the last 2,000 years, he will be with you. For to this people you shall divide as inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Now here's the key, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Now, when you think of Joshua, you know, he was one of the greatest commanders that ever lived. I picture this fierce warrior, you know, ripped, you know, in armor with his sword, just a strong dude that knew how to fight. But he didn't see himself that way. He knew, if I don't rely on the strength of God, the courage of God, there's no way I can win these battles. This is impossible. I don't have what I need. And so we see when he would go to battle. I think about Jericho. He didn't like, okay, guys, this is what we got to do. You know, I know what I'm doing. I've won a few battles, and this is what we need to do. No, he sought God. And God gave him a battle plan that basically didn't rely on his strength or his human abilities. It actually didn't make sense. But yet they won the battle. And they also understood who won the battle. So, yeah, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to go to battle. But the courage, the strength, the valor, all of that, it's God. It's in God. It's the confidence you have in God. And he's the one that will fight your battles. And so, be strong. Be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So he's commissioning, but he's also instructing. And he's letting Joshua know, you have to do things the way I tell you to do them. You're not going to be victorious. You're not going to prosper if you do it your own way. You have to do it the way I'm telling you to do it. This is important. And then he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I thought it was interesting that he said, in your mouth. And I was like, what does that mean? I couldn't help but think of James chapter 3, where it talks about if God can get control of our tongue, he has the whole man. But really, the tongue is just an expression of the heart. Because Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the key is really, if we're filling our heart, if we're meditating and our hearts are full of the word of God, his word's going to be in our mouth. And that's what God wants. He wants his word in your mouth. He doesn't want our opinions. Like I said earlier, he doesn't want my opinions coming across here. Well, this is what I think. We all have opinions, don't we? Right? And then we're going to go through that. Oh, this is what you guys should do. Oh, this is what they did here. We're looking to God to speak to us, to guide us, to direct us, because he knows what's best. So, God, what do you say? In every age of the church, it has been impressed on all hearts there can be no spiritual prosperity, no progress without meditation and devotion to God's word. Listen to what someone said. This is a quote in a book by Andrew Murray talking about the importance of a prayer life and the word of God in the Christian's life. So it says this: in speaking of the extreme importance of this daily time of quiet for prayer, for meditation on God's word, it has been said, next to receiving Christ as Savior and claiming the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we know of no act attended with larger good to ourselves or others than the formation of an undiscourageable resolution to keep the morning watch. If you think how impossible it is to live life, our daily life in Christ as our Savior from sin, or to maintain a walk in the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit without daily, daily close fellowship with God, we will soon shall see the truth of this sentiment, because it simply means the fixed determination that Christ shall have the whole life, that the Holy Spirit shall in everything be fully obeyed. The morning watch is the key to the position in which the surrender to Christ and the Holy Spirit can be unceasingly, fully maintained. We need the Word of God every day. We need to be filled with the Spirit every day. We can't rely on yesterday's manna. We have to be feeding on the Word of God every day. Men like George Mueller of Bristol read the Bible from beginning to end as many as 100 times, finding it more fresh, more interesting at each successive read-through. I'm hoping and believing that's what's going to happen, because it's already happening for me. But the more I read the Word of God, it just gets more exciting, because you know why? The Holy Spirit, the Word of God is endless. The depths, the riches that are in there, because it's God himself. There's no end to God. So his word, it's living, it's active. There's depths, there's riches. It's like mining. You know, the digger you deep into it, there's, wow, look at this. Man, I never saw that before. And you might have read that scripture 1,000 times. But it's the Holy Spirit revealing more and more the depths and the truths that are found in scripture. What a blessing we have. We don't understand what a blessing we have. The Word of God. God breathed right for us in our hands. We are so privileged. But yet, we neglect it. The sad thing is, it's rarely done where we're meditating on it day and night. I watched a video this morning, because I was thinking of this. And it's a video, it's like a 1 minute video of an underground church in China where they get their first Bibles for the first time. And I just started weeping because they literally almost fought for the Bibles, and you see them grab them and they're crying and they're kissing them. And then one lady's hugging it and she's saying, this is what we needed, this is what we needed. You understand, it wasn't just some book to them. They knew God. They had put their faith in God. They were already paying the price for their faith. But they also understood they needed to know him more, and that he had written His word down for them, his heart revealed to them, and they wanted to know him. They hungered for more of him. And so when they got these Bibles, it wasn't a book, it was God. It was him speaking to them, and it was so cherished and valued to them. And I guarantee you, they're reading it day and night. We see this sentiment in the word of God. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. Is that cry in our hearts? Oh, how I love your word, Jesus. It's my meditation all day. I can't think of anything else. Proverbs 4, like a loving father in verse 20. My son, my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life to those who find them. They're health to all flesh. You know, when you start eating good in the natural and then you eat bad, what happens? I asked Brian one time. Brian's a vegetarian. I'm not promoting vegetarianism. But he's like strict. So I said, so what would happen if you ate meat? He'd like, oh, it'd be bad. I'd be really sick. You know what I'm finding? The more I'm feasting on the Word of God, when I feed on something else, it makes me sick. It didn't before, because I got used to it. See, we get used to feeding on the bad stuff. And spiritually, we acclimate, and that's scary. That's very scary. Because what you don't realize is it's killing you spiritually. Just like your physical body, just because you get used to all the sugar maybe or used to whatever, it's still killing you. And when you stop doing it and you start doing the right thing, you're like, whoa, man, I feel good. Man, I can think again. I got energy. I feel like I'm alive again. It's the same way with the Word of God. So parents, would you give your kids poison? Every time you let them sit in front of a screen that is feeding the wrong thing, you're poisoning their minds. I don't care how innocuous it might seem or unharmful. We prayed for you, parents, that you'd be feeding your kids with the Word of God so they're healthy. Now, if they choose to go to the world's buffet when they get old, that's up to them. And they will suffer the consequences of that. But while they're in your home, they can have good meals. They don't need to be feasting on TV, on games, on this, on that, on things that are really just becoming like a cancer in their soul. They won't be healthy spiritually. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So there's three warnings here. We see a progression here. When we don't meditate in God's word day and night, when we start walking in the counsel of the ungodly, because we're not filling our minds with the truth of God's word. We're letting other influence. So our walk is not on the narrow way. It's dimly lit. We're off. We don't understand where we're going. Now, there's hope for that person. They just need some correction. They need to get in the Word of God. They need a lamp, the Word of God, to get their feet where they need to go. But if they don't, what happens is they'll begin to stand, it says, in the path of sinners. Well, now they're not moving. Now they're standing with the wrong people, with the wrong crowd, listening to the wrong things. And if they keep doing that, they'll wind up sitting in the seat of the scornful. They will become the very mockers that the world has come. And I've seen it with kids that have departed from the faith. They become mockers of God. Kids, that doesn't have to be you. That doesn't have to be anyone in this church. But it happens. I know people that have written Christian books that are good, and now they're mockers of God. Mockers of the Word of God. They sit in the seat of the scornful. It's a frightening thing. And it just started with walking and then standing. And now they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. But him whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. The best way I could describe that is they have no character at all. The glory of God, when it's spoken of in Scripture, there's one kind of meaning to it that it's weighty. And it's a picture of character, someone whom the glory of God is dwelling in. There's a weightiness about them. They're steadfast. They're on a rock. They're anchored. But when you're not walking in the law of the Lord, when you're not walking and abiding in the Word of God, you're like chaff that the wind comes and it just blows it away. There's no weight to the person's life. And therefore, they will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, because the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. And Jesus spoke of this in Matthew 7. And he was basically saying, if you do what I say, you'll be like a house built on a good foundation. And when the wind comes and the rain comes, the house will stand. But if you don't listen and do what I say, your house, it might look good, but you're building it on sand. When the hard times come, the wind, the waves, tribulation comes, that seed that was planted in you, it'll die and the whole house will just crash. We see that in the parables of the soils because they didn't go deeper. The roots, the ground wasn't broken up. Proverbs 4:13 says, take firm hold of instruction. Don't let it go. Keep her. She's your life. Don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Don't even travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Second Timothy 3 talks about a day, and this has been happening really since the early church, but I believe we're in a time when we're at the climax of this. Evil men, imposters, will grow worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. But you must continue. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing whom you have learned them from, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not a book, it's God. It's his heart, it's God breathe. It's given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. It teaches, it instructs us about the ways of God and the knowledge of God. How to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It reproves us. In other words, it points out error. It corrects us. It straightens us out. It instructs us in righteousness. It shows us how to walk, that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we'll have success. We'll prosper in the way. So the more we read that, like, just go through Psalm 119. Read that whole psalm, and when you're done, you'll be able to say, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. I remember it said to me, you'll never be a hungry Bible reader until you actually start eating it. You say, oh, God, make me hungry. No, eat it. Then you'll get more hungry. We always want God to do it. No, you get over it. Start reading it. And then he'll increase your hunger for it. Okay. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you will go. People, God's trying to help you. Guess what? Life's hard. Guess what? Just because we've given our lives to Christ doesn't mean easy sailing. Nothing bad happens. We don't face trials. Sometimes, and I'm not, just don't take this wrong, but if you ever look at all the prayers we pray, it's always, oh God, basically don't let this happen. And then I think about Paul, you know, when he's going back to Jerusalem. He doesn't say, guys, pray for me, you know, that they don't hurt me and I'm safe and God protects me and all that. No, he knew. Because someone prophesied, basically, and said, you're going to suffer, dude. I mean, they're going to come after you. This is what Ananias said to you. It's starting. They're going to want to kill you. You're going to be thrown to prison. I mean, it goes on and on. And the people knew him. They're weeping. No, no. And he rebuked them, like, what are you guys doing? This is God's will for me. I'm his servant. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not worried about my life. I've given it to him. This isn't my inheritance. We get the wrong idea, like Glenn was saying the other day. Our promised land isn't here. Our promised land is heaven. Our promised land is where there's no more tears, no wars, no more fighting. Our inheritance is Christ, not some land. Until then, we're at war. Until then, we're in peril. Until then, we're knocked down. Until then, sometimes we're perplexed. Until then, we have sleepless nights. Until then, we're beaten. We're persecuted. But we rejoice in it all. Right? And the Word of God still runs forth and accomplishes God's will, probably more so in our suffering. That's why we see this as an opportunity for the Word of God and the gospel to go forth to people that need hope. We get to be there every day of the week in a few months with people that maybe have no hope. What an opportunity God has opened up for us. That's why we're like, praise the Lord. I know that sounds weird to you guys. It's not weird to us because God's prepared us for this. You know, her mom got saved because of cancer. It's not about this life being all perfect. He uses suffering. He uses bad things for his glory. All I know is, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Help me to praise you in all things. Don't let me be like those spies that gave a bad report just because it didn't look good. That's why I shared the other night. I had been reading all this and going through the whole thing. And so we thought she didn't have cancer. And we're like, praise the Lord. But it was like God was preparing me. So she comes upstairs. She says, I got bad news for you. I got cancer. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. And I was thinking of Job, you know, like, should I curse God now? Or should I praise him? I should probably praise him. And we're going to keep praising him. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And you find that comfort and hope in the scriptures because it's God's heart. Why would we neglect meditating in it day and night? I don't like the word challenge, but I'm exhorting you. Redeem the time. You know what I found out? I remember I was saying earlier, I don't have time. Right, now I don't have time for the other things I was doing. Amen. Wasting time. That's what I realized. Like, all the stuff, frivolous things I was doing with my time, I don't have time for it anymore. Because I'm like, I got 20-something more chapters to read tonight. I don't have time for that. But I'm not looking at it that way anymore. It's been a blessing. So, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. So don't be afraid. Do what I'm saying to you today. God's speaking to you today. Do what he says. If you don't do it, he's not going to be with you the way you need him. You're not going to have success. He's speaking to you. This is his word. It's the same word to us as it was to Joshua. So, to those here who have already decided to follow him, he's saying to you, be strong, have courage in me, but you need to start meditating in this word day and night. Otherwise, you're not going to be strong. You're not going to have courage. So you're going to have to make some decisions and some choices about what you do with your time. Now, I'm not saying do what I'm doing. This is how God's leading me. I'm just saying find ways to feed on God. Stop eating the junk food, okay? You eat the junk food, you're not going to be healthy spiritually. And he'll be with you. But again, we have to choose, right? We have to choose to be those people. We have to humble ourselves. So this is what I'm going to say to you. There's probably something in your life you're not letting go. There's a room, there's a thing that you're not letting God have access to, and it's keeping you from getting at his feet, from being in his word, because you've made it too important. I don't care what it is, but you got to let him in the room today. And you got to surrender because he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Okay? So I'm going to invite those that know him in a little bit to bring that thing to God and to surrender it to him and to open that room and to give him access to whatever that is and then put him in place of it. And it might mean that slot of time, that reason, whatever it is, to take time to get in the word, to worship him, whatever it is, to serve him, to redeem the time for God, whatever it is, okay? Now, to others, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say what Jesus said to the Jews of his day. This is in John 5, verse 38. You do not have his word abiding in you. Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you have eternal life. Basically, he's talking to the Jewish people, and he's saying to them, you're still looking to the Old Testament, to the law, to somehow bring you to God. You search the scriptures. You're finding the right formula. You think if I do this and do that, it's going to save me. But Jesus reminds them what the scripture is really about. And he says this to them. You think you'll have eternal life in them, but these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have eternal life. So you understand from Genesis to Revelation, it's about Jesus. It's about the gospel. It's what I was telling you earlier. As I read Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and all those hard books to read, I see the cross. I see it all pointing to Jesus. I see another Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, the one who's going to give us all an inheritance that won't fade away. Hallelujah. Eternal life. And that's what God is offering you today. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. So my heart, God's heart for anyone here this morning, you might have heard the gospel 1,000 times, but if you haven't obeyed it, you are not abiding in Christ. You are not abiding in the Word of God. And God's offering you life today, but you have to surrender your life to Him. You have to make Him Lord of all. You have to understand there's absolutely nothing you can do to save yourself. We see that through the law. There was nothing. We heard it Friday night. There was nothing that could satisfy the Father. We read it. We heard it in Isaiah 53. Jesus had to take your sin, my sin, upon Himself. He had to do what no human being could have ever done. He had to pay the price and the penalty for our sin. And because He did that, He's given us access. We don't have to stand at the door of the tabernacle. We can enter in. We can talk to God face to face. He's given us access to the Holy of Holies. Don't live outside of the kingdom of God and the life that God is offering you this morning. So I'm going to ask us to stand. And I'm going to invite anyone this morning who wants to surrender their life to Christ. That means, Lord, I repent. Lord, I'm a rebel. I know I'm a sinner, Lord. And I need what You did on the cross. And Lord, I'm asking You to have mercy on me today, Lord. I'm coming to You, the only one that can forgive sins. So if anyone here, you have not obeyed the gospel, you have not surrendered your life to Him, you're still doing your own thing, you're not walking in His ways, He's offering you life today. Don't choose death. We see over and over again in the scriptures, choose life, choose life. Joshua even exhorted the people. Elijah exhorted the people, choose this day. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You have to choose. It might seem right to you, the pathway you're on, but it's leading to death, the Word of God tells us. Jesus came so that you can have life. He died on a cross so you can have eternal life. If you don't know Him, you're not walking with Him. He's inviting you to come, to repent, to receive forgiveness, and to know Him, and to walk with Him in newness of life. Anyone here, anyone online, come to Him this morning. Give your life to Him. He's worthy of it all, as we sang this morning. I thank You, Lord. I thank You for the cross. I thank You, Lord, for making a new and living way, God. Open hearts, Lord, to hear Your voice calling. Open hearts, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. There's a day coming. It's a day of judgment, and sinners will not stand in that day. Don't be that foolish man that's building his house on the sand. It might look pretty to everybody else, but if you're not founded on a rock, it's not going to stand. in the day of trial and the day of judgment. So just come, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. You'll go home justified. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now for the rest of us. This either you do when you go home, if God's speaking to you about things. But really what I want to say to those of us that have put our faith in Christ, we cannot waste any more time. We are in a battle for souls. God has called us to take the land. He's called us to bring others into their inheritance. It's not a time for us to, you know, kick back and enjoy the American dream and life. We're not here for that. He's got a calling. He's got a commission for all of us. We are all called to proclaim the good news. But you won't do it. You won't have the courage to do it. You won't have the strength to do it. You won't have the spiritual vitality to do it if you don't start choosing to redeem your time, to meditate day and night in God's word, to seek him morning and night, to surrender, to humble yourself and give him access to every room of your house. So whatever that looks like to you, if you want God to use you, if you want to be useful, if you want to lead others to life, God is asking you to surrender. It's simple. Your time, the things you value more than him, whatever it is, so that he can use you in this hour. And the young people are not exempt from this. The parents are not exempt from this. No one is exempt from this. God's calling all of us to be Joshua's. But we got to humble ourselves. We got to be people of prayer. We got to be people of the word. We got to be obedient. And then we'll be courageous and strong. And we'll be able to lead others. We can't lead others if we can't even lead ourselves. So I'm going to believe God today for anyone that just wants to, by faith, come forward. And I just want to pray for you that God's going to help you, just like he's helping me and helping us. He will help you if you ask him. So you're just saying, God, help me. Lord, I've proven I can't do this. I keep failing. But Lord, I'm coming and I'm asking you to help me. Now, when he does that, he's going to show you that thing. And then you got to be obedient. And that happened to Joshua. It happened when they went to conquer a little bitty town called Ai. And Joshua was on his face. God, why can't we win? What happened? Why don't we have victory? He says, because someone has taken things that belong to me and they've hidden it in their tent. And they had to expose what they held back from God before they can have the victory. You want victory? You got to bring the treasure out that you've been hiding from God. The thing that you think is yours, it's his. Because he wants to be Lord of all. So come and lay that treasure here at the altar and do not pick it up again. This is between you and him. Thank you, Lord. This is about God raising an army up, people. That's what it's about. Because he's called us to take the land. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're not here to make pledges or commitments with our words that mean nothing tomorrow. We're here as an act of surrender, Lord. We're here acknowledging our weakness, our inability to follow you the way we should. But Lord, we also thank you that you bid us to come. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is living. And I pray right now, Lord, that your word would judge every heart, Lord. Judgment is a good thing because it separates evil from good. So Lord, I pray you will separate out from every heart the evil, the things that resist you, the things that don't want to do what you want us to do. Lord, I pray you will take an axe to the root of it this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray you will disturb every heart. I pray you will give them no rest. I pray you will draw them with your power, Lord. I pray you will make a way where there hasn't been a way, so that they can have victory, Lord. Remove every obstacle, Lord, every obstacle that is hindering different ones, Lord, from entering in to your promises, Lord. We're not in the promised land yet, Lord. We're still in battle. We're still at war for souls, Lord. And I pray you would raise up Joshua's. I pray you'd raise up Deborah's in this room, Lord. I pray you will take this act of surrender, Lord. And I pray the Holy Spirit would come upon like the fire in the days of the sacrifice would come and consume these hearts, these vessels with your fire, Lord. Take your rightful place. Fill those rooms. Fill those places, Lord, that we have held you back from, God. And grant courage in this hour. Courage for the parents, for their children, Lord. I pray, Lord, you would dispel any fear or any ear that would listen to any bad reports, God, that you have not spoken. I pray your word would arise in this body, Lord. I pray your truth will rule and reign. Lord, I pray it'll come out of our mouths. We'll speak it in the byways, in the highways. We'll speak it in our homes, Lord. We'll speak it to our children, Lord. We'll speak it to the lost, God. I pray because our meditation is in your word day and night that the Holy Spirit would bring forth your word in power, in anointing, God, as we give you your rightful place in our hearts and our lives, Lord, as we surrender to you, Lord, I pray for a baptism of fire to consume these vessels that we offer to you this morning, God. And we thank you, Lord. You're no respecter of persons, Lord. Joshua wasn't special. Elijah wasn't special. He was just a man. And Lord, you've called us to be priests and kings. You've called us, Lord, to proclaim the gospel, to be the feet, Lord. So God, I thank you and I trust you, God, to do what we cannot do in our own strength. I pray your strength would manifest in all of our lives. And I pray we would go in the courage and confidence of God. So I thank you, Lord. And I do pray, Lord, that you would open up the word as never before. The riches of your word, the riches of who you are to these hearts this morning, God, as they get in your word, as they begin to seek you, Lord. I pray you will speak to them face to face, just as you spoke to Moses through your word. And lead us and guide us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.